I'm Kelly Beatty, executive editor of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August evenings. Before you head out, grab a blanket, a folding chair, or one of those reclining loungers so you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeved shirt or a light jacket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights, with a clear view all around the horizon. Right now there's only one bright planet in the sky, and that's Jupiter. It's a snap to find. All you have to do is note where the sun went down. That's west, more or less. Now turn to the left and look about a third of the way up. You'll see a star that's brighter than any other in the sky. Ta-da! That's Jupiter. If you have a small telescope or even binoculars held very steady, you'll see that Jupiter has a small disk, like a miniature full moon, with a string of stars along a line on either side of it. Those are the planet's four largest satellites. We'll spend more time in this part of the sky in a moment, but first let's take in a few more sights. First, turn around to your right, past the sunset point so you're facing roughly north. Once it starts to get really dark, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up. At the end of the handle are four stars forming its bowl. Clench your fist and hold it out at arm's length. You'll find that your fist just covers the bowl. Now, draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow it toward upper right past the lip of the bowl about three fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and you're now looking due north. Now go back to the Big Dipper, and this time follow the arc of its handle up and to the left until, three fists away, you come to a bright star. That's called Arcturus, and it's the alpha star in the constellation Boötes, the herdsman. Keep your gaze moving leftward past Arcturus and return to dazzling Jupiter. By now, it should be dark enough to see a medium bright star one fist below Jupiter. That's Antares, the heart of the constellation Scorpius. Antares means the rival of Mars, and you should be able to notice that this star isn't white but slightly reddish. Antares is about one-third as bright as Arcturus, but it'll look fainter than that because it's low in the sky and its light is being dimmed while passing through all the haze and atmosphere down there. Shift your gaze to the left of Antares and Jupiter, a bit more than two fists away. We're looking for a group of eight medium bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left and the spout, tipped down a bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your fist. From northern states and Europe, the teapot is only a fist or two above the horizon, so it'll help if you look from a spot with a clear, unobstructed view toward the south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you've found the main stars of the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer, and you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see puffs of steam coming up from the spout. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continues to spread upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. So last Sunday I'm reading the newspaper and I come across, in Parade magazine, a column by Marilyn Vos Savant. She usually offers some challenging brain teaser, but this week she lists questions she's gotten from readers that, she says, are too funny to answer. One of them is, where did all the stars go? In the 50s, the sky was loaded with them. Well, Vos Savant may think that's funny, but I sure don't. Light pollution has robbed most of us of the glorious star-studded skies that used to be common. If she left her home in New York City more often, she'd know that. Check it out for yourself at www.parade.com. I've added an online comment to tell her she's off base on this one, and I hope you will too. Okay, rant's over. There are two wonderful, don't-miss sky events this month. The first is a burst of shooting stars from the Perseid meteor shower. Now, you can spot meteors every night, but during a meteor shower, you'll typically see more of them than normal because Earth is crossing the orbit of a comet and plowing through a cloud of dusty particles shed by that comet along its orbit. This month's shower is called the Perseids because, even though the meteors will be zipping everywhere across the sky, they'll all seem to radiate from the constellation Perseus. The Perseids will be at their peak late on the night of Sunday, August 12th, and before dawn on Monday the 13th. The later you stay up on the 12th, the more meteors you should see. Start looking for them around 10 or 11 p.m. after Perseus has risen above the horizon in the northwest, and if it's cloudy, try again the next night. Because there's no bright moon in the sky, you should see about 1 meteor per minute from a really dark location. If you're stuck in a city, you won't see as many, but even so, occasionally a bright Perseid will streak by and bring out the oohs and ahs. The other big event this month is a total eclipse of the moon early on Tuesday the 28th, and by early, I mean well before the sun comes up. Sorry, but that's life. The moon doesn't disappear into Earth's shadow all that often, you know, so just hit the sack early that night. This eclipse favors those of you out west. Totality, when the moon is totally dark, lasts a good 90 minutes, centered on 3:37 a.m. Pacific time. If you live east of the Mississippi, the moon will set in the west in twilight during totality, but you'll still get to see the partial eclipse leading up to that. For more information about this eclipse, the Perseids, and all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the summer triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.